Hey guys, I'm Saria.
I'm Angel, and we are the Daring Mormons.
And we push ourselves beyond our comfort zone.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back. It has been a minute, and sincerely apologize. We just had some stuff to work out and get back in the groove of things, but now we're back, and we are stoked to have you guys here.
Yeah, our bad. Honestly, there's no good excuse. We just kept prioritizing other things, but we need to get better at prioritizing this on Sundays. So before we dive in, we said our prayer before we started this lesson, and we encourage you guys to pause this, say your prayer before we get into studying today.
Perfect. And then you guys already know, either from our podcast or other podcasts that you might be listening to, is that we are in Doctrine and Covenant, and today we're actually going to go over Doctrine and Covenant 12 through 13. Sorry, my accent kicked out a little bit there. And it's going to be Joseph Smith history, and this is from February 8th to the 14th, which is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
That was creepy.
That was supposed to be my sexy voice, but...
Happy Valentine's Day.
Ladies and gentlemen. But okay, let's kick this off. So, first, we're going to start off by going through this. So, Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery received additional knowledge as they prayed about the truths they learned in the scriptures. See Joseph Smith history if you want to learn further. It's going to be chapter 1. Verse 68, how will you follow their examples? And so I don't really know much about this right now, so we're going to learn about that as we dive further in. Then I'm just going to read what it says here on the book. Most people around the world have probably never heard of the place called Harmony, Pennsylvania. I haven't. I've been to Pennsylvania. But the Lord often chooses obscure locations for the most significant events in his kingdom. In the Wood area near Harmony on May 15, 1829, John the Baptist appeared as a resurrected being to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery. He placed his hands on their heads and conferred the Aaronic priesthood upon them, calling them my fellow servants. To be considered as a fellow servant with John the Baptist, who baptized the Savior and prepared the way for his coming. If you want to learn more about this, you can read Matthew chapter 3, 1 through 6, and chapter 13 to 17. Actually, 1 to 6 and verses 13 to 17. Most have been humbling, perhaps even overwhelming, to these two young men in the 20s. At this time, Joseph and Oliver were relatively unknown, much as Harmony was, but service in God's work has always been about how we serve, not about who notices. However small or unseen your contribution may seem at times, you too are a fellow servant of the Lord's great work. So that was kind of like a little background before we dive in to a little bit more about this thing. So we're actually going to read Doctrine and Covenant chapter 12.
The whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing. It's really short, So Star is just going to take that away for us there.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Like you want me to read the whole thing?
Babe, the whole thing, read it.
Okay. A great and marvelous work is about to come forth among the children of men. Behold, I am God. Give heed to my word, which is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of both joints and marrow. Therefore, give heed unto my word. Behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. Therefore, whoso desireth to reap, let him thrust in his sickle with his might and reap while the day lasts, that he may treasure up for his soul everlasting salvation in the kingdom of God. Yea, whosoever will thrust in his sickle and reap the same is called of God. Therefore, if you will ask of me, you shall receive. If you will knock, it shall be opened unto you. Now, as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments and seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. Behold, I speak unto you and also to all those who have desires to bring forth and establish this work. And no one can assist in this work except he shall be humble and full of love, having faith, hope, and charity, being temperate in all things whatsoever shall be entrusted to his care. Behold, I am the light and the life of the world that speak these words. Therefore, give heed with your might, and then you are called. Amen.
Wow, that's deep. I think my favorite part in there is the work is there for whoever is ready to be a part of it. Like, the work will be there and always will be. And so if we want to, you know, spread the gospel, spread love, harvest, and help people to come on to Christ, like, the work will be there and we'll do that. But my favorite part of that is you cannot do it if you don't have love and, you know, joy and happiness for other people. And I forgot the list that it said, but it basically was like, love is the center of that. So if you have that in you, and you want to help other people, it's a lot easier.
Yeah,
I think you hit that perfectly.
Awesome. So now I'm going to dive into these scriptures a little more. I mean, to the lesson a little bit more. Joseph Knight Sr. and his wife, Polly, met Joseph Smith when, as a 20-year-old, he began to work on their farm in Cloisville, New York. Joseph Knight described him as the best worker he ever had. He believed Joseph Smith's testimony about the gold plates and took Polly to visit Joseph Smith while he was translating the Book of Mormon at his home in Harmony, Pennsylvania. She immediately believed for the rest of their lives. Joseph and Polly remained faithful to the restored gospel. More than 60 members of the Knight families joined and helped establish the church in New York, Ohio, Missouri, Nauvoo, and eventually Salt Lake City. Joseph Smith wanted to know how he could help in the work of the Lord. The Lord answered, now, Doctrine and Covenant 12. So that's what we read, and because Joseph Smith had asked the Lord, how can I, you know, be of assistance in the work of the Lord? Applies to all those who have who has desired to bring forth and establish the work, including you. What does it mean to you to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion? How do the principles and attributes in verse 7 through 9 help you to do this? So we read over that, but we'll reread verse 7 and 9, 7 through 9.
Behold, I speak unto you and also to all those who have desires to bring forth and establish this work. And no one can assist in this work except he shall be humble and full of love, having faith, hope, and charity, being temperate in all things whatsoever shall be entrusted to his care. Behold, I am the light and the life of the world that speak these words. Therefore, give heed with your might, and then you are called. Amen.
So basically, you need to have like all those things. You need to be full of love. You need to have faith and hope and charity. And then you can do his work.
Yeah. I think growing up, I've always heard a lot of people were like, yeah, I want to do missionary work, but I don't know how. And clearly, when Joseph Smith asked the Lord about this, like, how do I do it? The Lord said, you know, you got to have hope, faith, charity, and a lot of love. And naturally, you will just be able to bring souls onto Christ. And that's what I've witnessed in my own life is there are times when I'm not even trying to do missionary work, but just my example, and because I care about people, helps them to kind of bounce back and rekindle with Heavenly Father and build that relationship with Him.
Yeah, I used to shy away from telling people that I'm Mormon or Church of, you know, of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, just because, you know, just as you guys probably know, if you're a member, like, just a lot of judgment comes from that, and I'm sure that we've all had really bad experiences with people just judging and making assumptions, and it just gets frustrating after a while dealing with it all the time. But I don't know, I finally got to a point where I am open with it, and it's really just because you never know who you might be inspiring to learn more about what, you know, what the Book of Mormon has in it, why it's so significant, and, you know, why we care so much about it, and why it's so important that we literally try to read it every single day. So, like, I know that we have, like, a bad rep for some reason, and people like to make fun of us, like, in every TV show, but I think that it is really good to just be yourself, be open about it, and, like, just have that light about you just shine forth, because that is honestly doing the Lord's work, is just, like, being confident in, like, your testimony and not, like, trying to hide it. I would always feel really bad every time I tried hiding it from people. It just, like, I knew it was wrong. I was like, dang it, like, I could be having missionary moments here. And missionary moments don't have to be something that's so crazy spectacular, you know? It can be, a missionary moment can honestly happen and you not even realize it. Like, you never know when people go back home and they're like, I actually want to know more about this.
Yeah, I couldn't have put that better. That was great. So now we're going to move on to Doctrine and Covenants 13. Not going to read it yet. We're going to read through the book here and see what brings up. The Aaronic priesthood was restored by John the Baptist. In just one sentence, John the Baptist revealed many truths about the Aaronic priesthood. Consider listing everything you learn from this section, including from the section heading. You might find it helpful to study some of the other, some of the phrases you find. Here are some examples to get you started. So there's a bunch of scriptures and stuff that you can go through and find out more about the Aaronic priesthood. We aren't going to cover them today, but if you go, should we go?
Well, it's really easy to find these lessons, guys. So they can be really long if we go through every single thing. So if you aren't following along with the lesson, you can go into the Gospel Library. It's an app. And go to, like, the lessons. It's Come Follow Me. And go to the week that we're on. And it has all of those scriptures that you can go and find. So if you guys, like, didn't know about that, Gospel Library, it's an app. And it has all of this on there.
Yeah. Perfect. And so we're going to continue now. And the section that we're going to read is section 13. And it is literally one verse. And it's summed up perfectly. And so we're going to read through it very slowly and so that you guys can stand. And we're going to talk about it a little bit.
Should I read the heading?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Wait, should I? Mm-hmm. Okay. An extract from Joseph Smith's history recounting the ordination of the prophet in Oliver Cowdery to the Aaronic priesthood near Harmony, Pennsylvania, May 15th, 1829. The ordination was done by the hands of an angel who announced himself as John, the same that is called John the Baptist in the New Testament. The angel explained that he was acting under the direction of Peter, James, and John, the ancient apostles who held the keys of the higher priesthood, which was called the priesthood of Melchizedek. The promise was given to Joseph and Oliver that in due time, this higher priesthood would be conferred upon them. The keys and powers of the Aaronic priesthood are set forth. Upon you, my fellow servants, in the name of Mosiah, I confer the priesthood of Aaron, which holds the keys of the ministering of angels, and of the gospel of repentance, and of baptism by immersion for the remission of sins. And this shall never be taken again from the earth until the sons of Levi do offer again an offering unto the Lord in righteousness.
Wow, that is deep. So, sum it up. Basically, when Christ was removed from the earth and all the apostles were killed, that authority to do, you know, baptism, to do call down upon angels, to have the priesthood was gone. And you know, and it's a crazy thing to believe just because there's so many churches that were still out there doing baptism and things like that. And it's a bold statement from our church saying that they didn't have the authority to do that. But that's just what the statement is. Like, that's just what we believe, is that when that happened, that authority was gone. People that held that authority were wiped off. And so God removes that authority from the earth. And to bring it back, like, clear, like, everyone that holds the priesthood in the church today, there's a direct lineage from where they got that from. So I have the priesthood, but I can go into church records and see who I got the priesthood from, and who they got it from, and who they got it from, and who they got it from, all the way to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery. And then you can, and then this scripture is explaining where they got it from. So literally, John came, John the Baptist came down and gave them that authority to do baptism and to have the Aaronic priesthood and to do all these special things. And then it states where John got that authority from. So Peter, James, actually, wait, I think, who came down? Was it John?
Yeah, John came down, and it says that it was acting under the direction of Peter, James, and John.
Okay, Peter, James, and John.
So there's two Johns.
Oh, yeah. That's what was doing, yeah. So it shows where he got those, that authority from, and then that authority that they had, they got exactly from Jesus Christ. And so there's a clear line of, like, where the authority is coming from. And the problem that the church says that other churches, or other beliefs or whatnot, they don't really directly have that authority to do so. And so it's a really bold statement, but I mean, it's clarified here. And it's just something that if you believe it, it's something you prayed about and now you know, or you might be going off blind faith, which is totally fine also. But, you know, that's just something to know.
Yeah.
Any thoughts about that? Pretty intense, huh?
Yeah, I think you covered it.
Okay, so something that comes with the Aaronic priesthood is, you know, you have the authority to the ministering of angels, which ideally means you can call upon angels to help and support, which is a pretty intense thing.
Seriously.
And of the gospel of repentance and of baptism by immersion. So
those are some big things.
Really huge, huge things.
Like, I feel like we don't think about that enough, like, how amazing that is. I mean, I think about it only when, like, I need, like, a blessing, because, like, I get really sick every once in a while, and that's the only time that I really think about it. But, like, we should think about that more often, mm-hmm. like, how big of a deal that is.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, so the next one is, we're actually not going to read this because it's in Joseph Smith history. Do you have that?
I forget where it is. Let me see if I can find it really quick. Oh, I have it. Never mind.
Okay. We are going to read it. It's going to be 66 to 75.
66 to 75. Okay. Okay, okay, okay. Okay. Sorry, guys, if you're tired of hearing my voice reading all these scriptures, but,
Never tired of hearing your voice.
Okay. On the 5th day of April, 1829, Oliver Cowdery came to my house, until which time I had never seen him. He stated to me that having been teaching school in the neighborhood where my father resided, and my father being one of those who sent to the school, he went to board for a season at his house. And while there, the family related to him the circumstances of my having received the plates, and accordingly, he had come to make inquiries of me. 2 days after the arrival of Mr. Cowdery, being the 7th of April, I commenced to translate the Book of Mormon, and he began to write for me. We still continued the work of translation when, in the ensuing month, May of 1829, we on a certain day went into the woods to pray and inquire of the Lord respecting baptism for the remission of sins that we found mentioned in the translation of the plates. While we were thus employed, praying and calling upon the Lord, a messenger from heaven descended in a cloud of light, and having laid his hands upon us, he ordained us, saying, "Upon you, my fellow servants, in the name of Messiah, I confer the priesthood of Aaron, which holds the keys of the ministering of angels, and of the gospel of repentance and of baptism by immersion for the remission of sins. And this shall never be taken again from the earth until the sons of Levi do offer again an offering unto the Lord in righteousness. He said this Aaronic priesthood had not the power of laying on hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost, but that this should be conferred on us hereafter. And he commanded us to go and be baptized and give us direction that I should baptize Oliver Cowdery, and that afterwards he should baptize me. And accordingly, we went and were baptized. I baptized him first, and afterwards he baptized me. After which I laid my hands upon his head and ordained him to the Aaronic priesthood, and afterwards he laid his hands on me and ordained me to the same priesthood, for so we were commanded. The messenger who visited us on this occasion and conferred this priesthood upon us said that his name was John, the same that is called John the Baptist in the New Testament, and that he acted under the direction of Peter, James, and John, who held the keys of the priesthood of Melchizedek, which priesthood, he said, would in due time be conferred on us, and that I should be called the first elder of the church, and he, Oliver Cowdery, the second. It was on the 15th day of May of 1829 that we were ordained under the hand of this messenger and baptized. Immediately on our coming up out of the water after we had been baptized, we experienced great and glorious blessings from our Heavenly Father. No sooner had I baptized Oliver Cowdery that the Holy Ghost fell upon him, and he stood up and prophesied many things which should be shortly come to pass. And again, so soon as I had been baptized by him, I also had the spirit of prophecy. When standing up, I prophesied concerning the rise of this church and many other things connected with the church and this generation of the children of men. We were filled with the Holy Ghost and rejoiced in the God of our salvation. Our minds being now enlightened, we began to have the scriptures laid upon to our understandings and the true meaning and intention of their more mysterious passages revealed unto us in a manner which we never could attain to previously, nor ever before had thought of. In the meantime, we were forced to keep secret the circumstances of having received the priesthood and our having been baptized owing to a spirit of persecution which had already manifested itself in the neighborhood. We had been threatened with being mobbed from time to time, and this too by professors of religion. And their intentions of mobbing us were only counteracted by the influence of my wife's father's family under divine providence, who had become very friendly to me and who were opposed to mobs and were willing that I should be allowed to continue the work of translation without interruption, and therefore offer and promised us protection from all unlawful proceedings as far as in them lay.
So that gave us a really detailed into like a little stronger dive into like what the priesthood can do and, you know, and how it benefits us and kind of how Joseph Smith received it and how the whole thing kind of broke down. And so I'm going to read into a little more detail here in the discussion. It says, Sister Carol M. Steffens, former counselor of the Relief Society General Presidency, thought priesthood ordinances and covenants provide access to the fullness of the blessings promised to us by God, which are made possible by the Savior's atonement. They are sons and daughters of God with power. God's power and provide us with the opportunity to receive eternal life. And then as you read Joseph Smith history 1 verse 1 chapter 66 through 75, including the note at the end of the verse 71, consider what inspired Joseph and Oliver's inquiry about the baptism, and note the blessings that came from them after the participating in the priesthood ordinance. Consider reading journal entries you may have written after receiving ordinances, or recording your memories of those events. What blessings have you received through the priesthood ordinance?
So really, it just sounded like they wanted to understand what they were translating more. And that's what's really cool about it, is that after they were baptized, they were able to understand the translations more than they ever would if they weren't baptized, which just goes to show that when you're baptized, you really do have the Spirit with you and helps to guide you and helps you to kind of like, I don't know, just kind of think differently. I don't know how to describe it, but I just thought that was really cool reading that.
Yeah, and this brings us to the end of our discussion and our lesson, and we're so grateful for everyone tuning in. And you know, we just want to remind you that we're not gospel experts. Like, we are in the same boat that you guys are. We don't know much about it. I did serve a mission, but I was focused more on just helping people to just see the basics of the gospel than to diving a little deeper. And so this is kind of my opportunity to dive in deeper, Starry's opportunity to kind of learn a little bit more about the deeper gospel. My opportunity to learn that too. And we're just glad that you guys come along with our journey. And if you something that we said, you know, stuck with you the wrong way, don't hold it against us, because we are trying to learn just as you are. We just decided to do this because, you know, we thought it would be a really good act.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So a couple things to note before we close this out. So Angel will be traveling this summer, and that means that we won't be in the same state anymore. So we might have a couple weeks that we don't have a new episode. And that's just because it just ultimately depends on, you know, his work schedule, how busy they are. So we will do our best to get them up every week. But just in case, like, you go and see if we uploaded and we didn't, like, it's just because it was a crazy day and we just couldn't get it to work out. Having said that, if you guys came from our YouTube channel, that is kind of the same thing. It's we're just gonna kind of learn as we go. But yeah, we are so grateful for you guys and following our journey, and especially like letting us to come on here and just have a very open lesson where we're learning and you guys can learn with us. It's honestly really cool, and it just really invites the Spirit into our home when we're doing this. So thank you guys so much. Okay, well, we're gonna go ahead and say our closing prayer, and we encourage you guys to do the same, and hopefully we'll be able to upload next week. we'll see.
We love you guys, and yeah.
Yeah. All right, see you guys, have an awesome day.